The January 6th committee issues its final report, what we learned and what happens next.
Where the story really goes now is the baton is being passed to the Justice Department. Whether they take action or whether this report informs their own investigation remains to be seen.
And severe winter weather causes travel disruptions across the country. Plus, how the Justice Department says it'll keep the cryptocurrency industry in check. It's Friday, December 23rd. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. President Biden is expected to sign a $1.65 trillion omnibus bill passed by the House today, averting a government shutdown ahead of the holiday. The package funds the federal government for the full 2023 fiscal year. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy had strongly opposed it as part of his bid to become the next Speaker of the House. That decision will come on January 3rd, when Republicans take control of the chamber with a slim majority. Severe winter weather continues to disrupt holiday travel. Airlines canceled thousands more flights today. The National Weather Service says the storm was at peak intensity for most of this morning, bringing high winds, record cold, and snow and rain across much of the U.S. Forecasters say those conditions are expected to last through Saturday in much of the central and eastern U.S. More than 200 million people are under some type of winter weather warning. The Internal Revenue Service is delaying a tax filing rule for gig workers, giving millions of Americans a one-year reprieve. The law would require e-commerce platforms like eBay, Etsy, and Airbnb to give the IRS information on users with more than $600 in revenue. Acting IRS Commissioner Doug O'Donnell says the delay will give taxpayers more time to prepare and help avoid confusion during the 2023 tax filing season. The U.S. economy is showing more signs of slowing down. The Federal Reserve's preferred inflation gauge, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index, rose 5.5% in November, a notable cooling from October's 6.1%. The data is the latest indication that inflation is easing from its summer highs. The Department of Justice says it's been putting more resources into cracking down on crypto crimes, and it plans to do even more. Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco spoke to The Wall Street Journal.
What we have established is a network of prosecutors around the country who are subject matter experts, who've raised already over the last year the level of the department's expertise to investigate and bring these cases.
My colleague Aruna Vishwanatha spoke to Monaco, who says the DOJ strategy appears to have sped up the case against the founder of collapsed crypto exchange FTX.
So I think for Sam Bankman-Fried, the investments by the Justice Department clearly paid off to some extent and helped them bring this case, but also they were given a lot of evidence from the company itself, from his top lieutenants who are pleading guilty within a matter of weeks. For the industry more broadly, these investments by the Justice Department also potentially foreshadow a tougher road.
Bankman-Fried faces charges of fraud and conspiracy. He was extradited to the U.S. from the Bahamas this week and released on a $250 million bond. Meanwhile, two of his associates, Caroline Ellison and Gary Wang, have pleaded guilty to fraud and other offenses and are cooperating with federal prosecutors. Ellison apologized in court this week, telling a judge that she and others conspired to steal billions of dollars from FTX customers. That's according to a transcript of the hearing made available today. Coming up, after an 18-month investigation, the work of the January 6th committee has come to an end. What we learned from the panel's final report after the break.
Join the Wall Street Journal at the Future of Everything Festival on May 21st to 23rd in New York City, where diverse global newsmakers share unique perspectives on navigating a changing world. Immerse yourself in live performances, explore pioneering technologies, and indulge in the city's inventive culinary scene. As a podcast listener, enjoy 20% off current ticket rates with code PODCAST. Visit wsj.com/FOEF podcast to secure your spot.
As we reported in this morning's show, the House panel investigating the January 6th, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol released its final report late last night. The more than 800-page report summarizes the panel's findings after an 18-month investigation. Chief among them, that former President Donald Trump disseminated false allegations of fraud related to the 2020 election, provoking supporters to violence. The report comes after the committee voted on Monday to refer Trump to the Justice Department for four potential criminal charges, including incitement of an insurrection. Trump rejected the report in a post on his Truth Social platform on Thursday, saying it purposely fails to, quote, study the reason for the protest, unquote, which he again flagged as election fraud. That's despite findings by authorities, including his former Attorney General William Barr, that the Justice Department found no evidence of widespread voter fraud. So, after a year and a half, where does that leave us? Our team has been poring over the committee's report, and joining me now with some key takeaways is Wall Street Journal investigative reporter Scott Patterson. Scott, thanks so much for being here after such a long night.
Thanks for having me.
So, Scott, start by telling us what new information we learned from this report beyond all we've seen and heard from this year's hearings. What stood out to you, and tell us your major impressions here?
You know, so far, we haven't been able to find any big bombshells that we didn't know about before. It doesn't really get that much into the security lapses, for instance, and in some ways absolves the security apparatus of failing to protect the Capitol that day, because the report says security officials could never have imagined that a president would direct a mob, an armed mob, towards the Capitol. But there's just a lot of new information and details around the edges of this multi-part plot by Donald Trump and his allies to reverse the results of the 2020 election. By and large, this whole thing is a vast 845-page indictment of the former president. I was looking into a chapter in the report that focuses on the plan to get these fake electors organized in seven states that Mr. Trump had lost to Joe Biden. It really sort of spells out in a linear narrative how this whole thing came about, who organized it, who was emailing who in the Trump orbit was signing on to it, and how it went forward and sort of became the central piece of Mr. Trump's efforts on January 6th to get his vice president, Mike Pence, to take some kind of action that would reverse the results of the election.
Scott, this report also issues recommendations. Can you talk about some of the big ones?
Yeah, so one of them is a pretty big one, recommending that using the 14th Amendment, Congress should take some action to keep Mr. Trump from ever holding office again. The 14th Amendment bans somebody who supported an insurrection against the United States from holding office. It was enacted following the Civil War to keep some of the Confederates from holding office again in Congress. As far as I know, it's never been invoked since then. It's not likely to happen, for one thing. The House is turning over to the Republicans in January. It's sort of symbolic, and interesting, and it has credibility, but it's not likely to happen anytime soon.
Bigger picture, Scott, this was a highly politicized process, and this report caps 18 months of investigations into the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Where does this all leave us now?
Well, the January 6th committee with the new Congress is going to, you know, sort of turn into Cinderella's pumpkin and vanish. Committee members might, on their own, continue to pursue some of the recommendations that they made in the report, you know, including more oversight of extremist groups, changes in election laws that could keep something like this from happening again. But where the story really goes now is the baton is being passed to the Justice Department. And we know there's a special counsel who's been named, who's been pursuing, for one thing, the fake elector plot. He's been sending subpoenas to people in various states who were associated with that plot. One interesting thing to keep an eye on are the criminal referrals that the committee made on Monday to the Justice Department. It means that it's not going to be a political issue for the Justice Department now because they operate separately from Congress. Whether they take action or whether this report informs their own investigation remains to be seen, but it'll be interesting to follow what happens with those referrals. You know, when I talk to people who really know what the DOJ is, how they operate, there's a lot of skepticism that the committee is going to be providing information that they don't already have. There's no question that at some point the committee was ahead of the Justice Department, but the thinking now is that the committee has provided a good narrative that can sort of help the Justice Department explain what they're doing. But in terms of the nuts and bolts of an investigation and the information that the Justice Department has, it's unlikely that there's much here that they don't have.
I've been speaking with Wall Street Journal investigative reporter Scott Patterson. Scott, thank you so much for your insight here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And finally, buying your significant other a new car for the holidays and looking for one of those big red bows from the commercials to put on top of it, it's not something all that many of us have to worry about. But those giant toppers are in fact real. They're available for anyone to buy, and it might actually be easier to get your hands on one this year. Bow sales have been mixed. An events company in Iowa, Golden Openings, saw sales jump 40% this season. But some other bow sellers, like King Size Bows in California, have seen sales fall by about as much. Our personal finance reporter Joe Pinsker says the weak numbers are consistent with overall auto trends we're seeing this year.
What we see with bow sales, if they are in fact down, would be reflective of trends overall in the auto industry. Basically, year to year, car sales are down, and also dealers' inventories have been pretty low because of supply chain issues. So that means that you just have fewer cars on the lot to stick a bow on. What we might call a bow session could be the result of car sales data that we're seeing. According to J.D. Power, U.S. car sales are expected to reach about 13.7 million by the end of the year, and that's down from a number of 14.9 million last year.
If you want to hear more about the bow session and how much one of those ribbons actually costs, check out the Wall Street Journal's personal finance podcast, Your Money Briefing. And that's what's news for this week. Our hosts are me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Luke Vargas. The show was produced by Pierre Bien-Aimé and Kate Bullivant, with help from Mohsen Ali, Anthony Bansi, Julie Chang, Daniela Cheslow, Zoe Thomas, and J.R. Whalen, and editorial support from Michael Kosmides and Chris Sinsley. Before we go, a quick programming note. We'll be off on Monday and back in your feed on Tuesday, December 27th, with a special episode to kick off the final week of the year. Thanks for listening.